Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hi again. This is a great pleasure to be together for this new EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Today, we have a very exciting and I would say very important topic dedicated to neurorehabilitation of brain injury. So brain injury patients are at the very heart of our scientific and day-to-day medical concern. And we would like to bring some more information, data, and knowledge related to this aspect. My name is Dafin Muresanu. I'm a professor of neurology at the University of Medicine and Pharmacy Iuliu Hațeganu, Cluj-Napoca, Romania. I am also the co-chair of EAN Neurotraumatology Scientific Panel and member of the managing group of neurorehabilitation. I'm also currently the president of European Federation of Neurorehabilitation Societies. And we are very, very grateful to have today with us an eminent scientist and practitioner, Professor Katrin Rauen. She is a physician, of course. She's a neurologist. She's a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist with a lot of knowledge also in the field of somnology. And she is acting also in many capacities, but currently she's affiliated to Neurological Rehabilitation Center Godeshöhe in Bonn, Germany, one of the largest and newest rehab center over there. She's an adjunct professor for neuropsychiatry at the University of Zurich. She has a double affiliation to the University of Zurich and Munich, and she's member of the EAN Managing Group Neurotraumatology and Neurorehabilitation. She's on top of it, a board member of Academy of Multidisciplinary Neurotraumatology, and leads the Neurotrauma Outcome Working Group of the European Neurotrauma Organization. And, you know, I can talk a lot about her capabilities and capacities, but I believe that will be of high interest, dear Katrin, to have a nice discussion today. And I would like to initiate this dialogue with a very simple question for the beginning. Could you please lead us behind the curtain of latest developments related to neurorehabilitation for brain injury patients, actually to shine a little bit light into this, I would say, very complex field?
Yeah, thank you very much, Professor Muresanu, dear Dafin, for the very nice introduction and also for the opportunity to talk today about neurorehabilitation in the brain-injured patient. And it's my pleasure to shine a little bit of light during the next couple of minutes on this important topic. So if it comes to neurorehabilitation, we have to distinguish whether it's an inpatient treatment or an outpatient treatment. And in terms of brain injury, very often we need the inpatient treatment. And so across Europe, I start with important topic. And across Europe, very often there's still a lack of enough inpatient neurorehabilitation after brain injury. So I think we have to focus on this during the next years to have really brain injury specific neurorehabilitation for our patients. And in terms of brain injury, we have also to define what kind of patients do we classify as brain injury. So we have acquired brain injury, or this is very often used also as traumatic brain injury. So there is a mechanical issue in the brain that leads to the injury and the consequences. On the other hand, we can also count post-stroke patients to a kind of acquired brain injury, but I would like to focus here or pinpoint that these are totally different patients and they need, from my perspective as a chief physician at the Neurological Rehabilitation Center, different rehabilitation programs. And there are further other brain injured patients, such as after regurgitation, like with hypoxic encephalopathy or after metabolic problems. So we have a large variety of brain injured patients in rehabilitation centers. From my clinical perspective, very often those patients get a kind of the same rehabilitation program according to their motor functional deficits, either hemiparesis, tetraparesis, paraplegia, and so on. So this is very important that we look at the functional deficits, but we have also to look at the entities of these patients to foster the success in rehabilitation. So with focus now of the inpatient treatment, but then it's very important to do a good transition to the outpatient treatment as well.
Excellent, I would say, brief description of the current state of affairs in the field. And yesterday we were discussing about the need of creating a kind of holistic approach in neuro rehab and bringing together most important dimension from motor to cognitive and to emotional and so on and so forth. According to your opinion and your philosophy, what are the typical needs of these brain injured patients during the rehab process?
Yeah, so this is a very relevant question, and I would like to contrast patients after stroke to those after traumatic brain injury to make it a little bit clearer, because I pinpointed already that the field is very complex and heterogeneous. So if we stay with the most common brain injuries, post-stroke and post-TBI, we have to distinguish this in the future in terms of a brain injury-specific rehabilitation. So most people know stroke, but then there are different entities, like there is ischemic stroke, there is bleeding, there is venous sinus thrombosis. So different entities need also different aspects in rehabilitation. But overall, after stroke, there are typical vessels or typical regions that are involved. And the result, the functional deficit or the motor deficit, the cognitive deficit, and speech deficit is in principle relatively similar. In TBI, we have a very heterogeneous and complex mechanical injury, and so different brain regions can be involved, or there are more differences in comparison to stroke. And very often the frontal lobe is involved. So this is the main problem in post-traumatic brain injury patients, that there are a lot of frontal lobe and mediotemporal lobe dysfunctions. And so this makes clear that after stroke, motor recovery is very important, speech and cognitive rehabilitation is important, also functional recovery is important. However, in TBI, the motor recovery is relatively fast because the primary motor cortex is very often not involved. In the beginning, patients are disabled and bedridden, but after recovery from the edema after TBI, the motor recovery is relatively fast. And then we need to focus and have offer specific TBI rehabilitation for cognitive deficits and also for personality deficits or behavioral deficits. So we need to offer psychotherapy or psychological support. And so this is very important. And we know from the Center TBI observational study, there is a lack of rehabilitation needs, particularly in occupational therapy, speech therapy, cognitive therapy and psychological support after traumatic brain injury. So this is a lack across Europe, and we want to tackle this in the new next years.
Excellent, dear Katrin. You tremendously contributed to the field recently by an excellent initiative related particular project, a survey who was created, was initiated by. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you are talking about NEP-TBI, so neurohabilitation across Europe. This EIN-driven survey will uncover the current needs or the current status in neurohabilitation in TBI patients in comparison to ischemic stroke patients, in comparison to patients with hypoxic encephalopathy. And this is exactly the first step across Europe to analyze what kind of rehabilitation those patients get. And we address this survey not only to rehabilitation specialists, but also to acute neurologists and neurologists in private practices and also in the research field. So we want to shine a light on the current state of rehabilitation in these three different brain diseases, brain injuries. And this is the first step to develop rehabilitative treatments in these patients. And therefore, it is very good to think again also to the next three steps. So we do also with the Academy of Multidisciplinary Neurotrauma and in collaboration with the AIN and AFNR, we are working on a registry project, which is called PRESENT. So we would like to collect data, high excellent and high quality data of brain injured patients, and in preparation for pharmacological clinical trials, but also this would be very good for outcome assessments over time. And so taking together this EIN survey, NEP-TBI will be the first step to investigate neurohabilitation in different brain diseases in across Europe.
Yes, thank you very much. I think it was very important to mention this investigation, that this survey, and you have mentioned also the present registry, and this is important because recently we have concluded the yearly World Academy of Neurotraumatology Congress, and I think we have an important project and hope to be pushed ahead with this important aspects, particularly in relation with the integration of different modules of treatment and to follow the patient pathway into the system. And I think this is also an important part of your work and your idea.
Yeah, exactly. And this, I mean, it's very important to have good patients' pathways. We need better treatment in the field. And for this, we need also defined assessments at the beginning of neurohabilitation and during neurohabilitation and at the end of inpatient treatment, but also further on during the outpatient treatment. And I think there's also a lot to do to improve outcome assessments in clinical practice. In the research field, there are a lot of recommendations, and in clinical practice, we need very good and simple assessment that we can apply for each patient and also with a specific focus for the brain injury.
Excellent, and I think it was important to highlight that. Now let's switch a little bit to, let's say, to clinical related aspects. And could you please stress a little bit the topic of prognosis after traumatic brain injury? How would you describe this complexity?
That's a huge field again. And I would like to go a step a little bit back, because it's important to distinguish the prognosis after traumatic brain injury in contrast to after stroke. And after stroke, we have to distinguish between bleeding and ischemic stroke. I would say in ischemic stroke, in the clinical, if you really look at the progress from the acute phase until 6 months after ischemic stroke, there is quite a good chance that you can estimate the final outcome. There will be further changes in terms of how much effort the patient and the family will do in the further outpatient rehabilitation, but approximately after 6 months, it can be done. After bleeding, very often there is a huge progress during the first 3 months, and this is a very big problem very often during inpatient rehabilitation, because patients think this fast recovery will continue. And after bleeding, the first recovery is mainly driven by the resorption of the bleeding. So it's not really that the plasticity of the brain or the brain recovers. It's more that the bleeding disappears. And so this is very important. Very often after 3 months, there is a kind of pre-final outcome phase. So it's very often we can't tell for each patient, but this is an approximation. In traumatic brain injury patients, there is so much diversity in the brain. Very often there is a final prognosis possible after 24 months. So this is really a huge difference in these brain injury entities. And there is also data out that even after 5 to 7 years, there can be pathways with increased function, there can be pathways with stable function, and there can also be pathways with decreased function, running more in post-traumatic dementia. So there are pathways after traumatic brain injury that there is an increase in function even after 5 to 7 years, or there are pathways with stable function in the long run, and there are pathways with decreased function running into a so-called post-traumatic dementia, which is also tauopathy, which we know more and more clearly after single TBI, as well as after repetitive TBI. So, and from my own data, from my own research group, we know there is only about 2/3 of patients with good quality of life in the long run, up to 10 years after traumatic brain injury. And there is 1/3 of patients with unsatisfied quality of life. So we have to develop further assessments, further diagnostics in terms of psychiatric and cognitive burden in the long run in these patients. So this is a very good news. After 1 year, most of the TBI patients develop a very good quality of life. And so this is also a big task during new rehabilitation, that we support the adaptation to the new situation, and so that patients can lead a good life, although disabled due to the brain injury.
Yes, excellent. I think this is a very relevant topic, as we always have to align our expectation with the patient's hope, and sometimes it's a sensitive matter. So I think it's important to be mentioned. Katrin, what do you think? Do we have good perspectives for future developments in your rehabilitation, and what are, in according to your opinion, most important directions, and of course the challenges that are staying ahead? Yes.
Yeah. So excellent. Question. Looking in the future, so we are about to change new rehabilitation. So I'm very convinced that it's still needed in the today and in the future that we have hands-on treatment for our patients. This is very important, but we are already in the digital world, so we need to use digital devices for cognitive training, also for dual training, for motor and cognitive rehabilitation. This is particularly difficult for patients doing a motor task and a cognitive task. And there in this field, the digital world and the technologies can help. And the third is the technology. So like robotics that we can use, and we have to assess whether those technical devices can really improve function, the well-being. And I think there is a lot already out in the world, but we have to do further work in this field between hands-on, digital and technology, neurorehabilitation. And another topic is also to look at subjective and objective outcome measures. So, because very often neurologists or medical doctor specialists think this or this is very important for the patient, but in the end, it's important what the patient and the family need for their well-being. So, this is very important that we include subjective and objective measurements in our assessments. And then the last thing we already spoke about, the initiatives that are running. And I think all these important initiatives within the EIN can help to improve neurorehabilitation after brain injury. So there is the one guideline production in post-stroke cognitive rehabilitation in alliance with the European Stroke Organization and European Academy of Neurology. And then there is a present registry project regarding traumatic brain injury and brain injury outcome for collecting excellent data as basis to discover patients' pathways to include those patients in clinical trials to realize good causal treatment also after traumatic brain injury. And the third, you mentioned it already, Daphne, is the NEP TBI survey, which is about to start in the next days, and it's ready to go. And we will look at the current state of rehabilitation across Europe in regarding traumatic brain injury, ischemic stroke and hypoxic encephalopathy patients. So it's about to be launched. And so I think these are my three recommendations, looking at all these. And we need large teams to do this. And I think the EIN is a perfect organization to support this. And also with all the networking, and we have a lot of fantastic clinicians, researchers, that we can run those things.
Thank you very much. I believe it was an excellent overview regarding current state of affairs and also regarding future perspectives. I believe that our societies, these societies, working hand in hand. We have EAN in the center of all these initiatives, and of course, working with ESO, with AMN, with the European Federation of Neurorehabilitation, I believe we'll be able to refine the best ways to develop neurorehabilitation, particularly in relation with these two very important categories that are, bringing a lot of input into the burden of neurological disorders. I mean, stroke and traumatic brain injury. So. I think was a great talk. Thank you. Thank you very much. We may call it a very nice discussion and podcast. Thanks. And I hope to do it again soon, maybe related to different particular aspects. We may zoom in. You have mentioned many, many things today. We may have a podcast for each of your important statements. So thank you very much, Katrin. It was a great pleasure, and looking forward to new discussions and opportunities to highlight this. Yes,
I thank you, Daphne. Thank you very much.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.